You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
What are the current best practices when it comes to dealing with managed services contracts? We're talking about managed services agreements and what are the hot button issues, the priority items that both MSPs and customers are wanting to discuss and iron out in a typical managed services agreement. That's what we're going to be talking about today on the MSP Zone. And as always, with such a rigorous topic as managed services, legal theories and agreements and best practices and things of that nature, we always turn to the experts in the field. And today we're very pleased to have again joining us Rob Scott from Scott & Scott talking about managed services agreements. So Rob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Charlie. Happy holidays. Good to be back.
Happy holidays to you as well. You have a pretty good finger on the pulse of your clients, and your clients, you know, not exclusively, but you have a lot of MSPs who are clients, and a lot of those are MSP Alliance members. So we kind of have travel in the same circles. But you talk to your clients in a different way, obviously more on a legal tone. And there are some things that you are noticing that may be shifting. And these could be, you know, small incremental shifts. Some of these could be larger shifts. But today we've got a handful of different things that I'd like to talk to you about and get your opinions on. But in terms of, you know, agreements, right? The term of the agreement, whether you're talking about month to month, 1 year, multi-year, 5, 8 year deals. What are you seeing any trends this late in the year of a pandemic year that we should be aware of?
I think the pandemic has definitely had a significant effect on the way certain customers perceive the risk associated with entering into long-term contracts. And as a result of that, I have suggested that my clients offer three different flavors, potentially. One would be month to month. Two would be a 1 year deal, and three would be a 3 year deal. And each is offered where the month to month is the base price. The 1 year is at a discount to the base price, and the 3 year is at a discount to the 1 year, where the 3 year deal is presented in a way to be most attractive to the client. Because in my opinion, 3 years is the magic sort of term for managed services contracts. And I encourage all of my clients to at least attempt to drive their customers to that. And if they can't, to get an appropriate premium for offering that flexibility. One of the things that we're seeing in some deals is that the clients want the best of both. They want the MSP to be committed for 3 years for purposes of price protection and maybe other things, but they want the right to cancel on some notice for convenience. And what I explain to my clients is the right to terminate for convenience is convert your agreement from whatever the term was to whatever the notice of convenience period is. So if a customer has the right to cancel on 30 days notice, what you really have is a month-to-month contract, regardless of what the term says. So it's important to be able to offer flexible arrangements, but MSPs need to price that flexibility into their contracts and continue to show the value to the customer of the long-term deal. And that, I think, is one of the biggest challenges that has emerged as a result of the pandemic.
That's interesting. You bring up something, and this is not the first time I've heard about this, right? A lot of MSPs say, well, I have multi-year agreements, but they have a 30-day out clause. and your observation is that if you really have a 30-day out clause, you really have more month to month. Is there any situation where you would have a longer term, like a 1, 2, or 3 year deal? And obviously you don't want, like, you're never going to have a 1 year, notice clause, right? That would be impractical, but what guidance are you seeing in terms of longer than 30-day out clauses?
Well, I recommend to my clients that there is no opportunity for customers to terminate for convenience. And if a customer needs to terminate for convenience, they need to be on month to month, which offers no price protection, and they need to pay essentially full price and probably some significant setup fees. And then what I would say is, if you go to a 1 year deal, maybe you don't charge the setup fees, or maybe you reduce them and maybe the monthly is lower. And then the 3 year deal, you'd eat the setup fees and you offer a discount. The worst thing that you can be in is a long-term deal that locks the MSP into certain prices, but where the customer has the right to terminate. That's the worst of both. So that's why I say, if the customer needs the right to terminate for convenience, offer them month to month, not any term.
So we are, and it seems to me, although managed services, I don't know how most MSPs would, if they're doing this, I would assume not. I don't hear them talking about their services as subscription. I don't think that they refer to themselves like software, but you we're almost saying offer compelling price reductions for the longer terms, but have all or multiple durations of contract available to ease in the negotiation process. It really sounds like what you're blending marketing, sales, and legal.
Well, yeah, and I think the best legal contracts are the ones that help you get sales and, reduce the sales, increase conversion rate and reduce time to contract. So, to me, some of these concepts are, as you say, related. I'm not suggesting necessarily a particular way to market it, more so than you don't want to only offer one, because let's say you really want only 3 year deals. If a customer is prepared to pay you, what you would consider an appropriate premium over your 3 year price and willing to pay setup fees to cover your startup costs, why not offer that? The goal would be that you once you establish with them, then you move them to the 3 year, at renewal. So, that would be the strategy to say, okay, I don't want to forego this revenue. I've got a customer who wants to do business. They've got a particular need for flexibility. I think you should offer that. I don't think it should come at the same price as a 3 year deal, nor do I think you should offer flexibility on a 3 year deal that's only flexible for the customer and put the MSP in a bad spot. But the idea of having a menu of options where you price them in such a way as to make it advantageous for the customer to choose the 3 year deal, that's the win-win. If the customer doesn't see the value, they'd rather pay the price premium for flexibility, then if you price it correctly, that should be a smart deal for the MSP as well.
Okay. So we have monthly, 1 year, and 3 year general terms. I mean, maybe if they want to change around those, but you're suggesting three different styles of engagement with a customer that should meet the majority of customer needs out there. We're talking about cancellation clauses and when not to use them. Let's talk about pricing. So pricing, again, seems to fit into your model here very, very nicely, which is that depending on the term, price based on the term of the agreement, not necessarily based on the level of service. Do you mind talking about how you see service levels and term contract types factoring into pricing?
Well, yeah. So if really what you're offering is just sort of block of time and availability or those types of things, then I think service level is, you know, I'm going to answer the phone. I'm going to be available. It's just availability of response time. Similarly, whether it's a one-year deal or a month-to-month deal or a three-year deal, your service level should be the same. And you could offer a variety of service levels in any term. So, for example, if you have a silver, gold, and platinum, or an A, B, and C, and A is the most premium service, you could offer that A service even in a month-to-month situation. So I think you should think about, you know, grades of service level and term as being separate concepts. And with respect to the idea of how to go about offering service level agreements, our recommendation is that you present them in terms of service level objectives, and that they're expressed in terms of response only and not resolution times. And we are strongly discouraging MSPs to enter into contracts that have contractual penalties for, service level shortcomings. And what we recommend is that instead we give the customer the opportunity to terminate the contract, not for convenience, but for cause, where cause is defined as a persistent failure to meet the service level objectives. And if the customer terminates for cause, then the liquidated damages of, you know, what the customer pays in the event of termination are not due. So if the customer has persistent failures in service level objectives, that would be a grounds for termination for cause, and only after an opportunity to cure. If the cause still remains, then the customer can leave and not pay the liquidated damages for early termination that would apply if the customer attempted to terminate for convenience.
Right. Are you seeing, Rob, a change in the MSPs and their contracts of moving away from all you can eat, or are you seeing them move towards all you can eat? Because your last comment about, you know, really focusing on the term of the agreement as a determining factor of price could maybe be a very elegant solution and replacement of what has been in the past, as you know, multiple levels of service level related to price. Does that make sense? And do you have any thoughts on that?
And I think you could do it both. You can have, for example, you know, different base price points for different service levels, and then offer your discounts for the longer term commitments off of each service. So I'm not necessarily suggesting that MSPs need only to use the lever of term in setting price. But what I'm saying is, for any given service, if the base price is X, then the 1 year price should be X minus a percentage, and the three-year price should be X minus a greater percentage. But that could be applied across a number of different menu items. You don't necessarily have to stick to one service level. Although I do like, for operational reasons, I do like it when MSPs offer a single service to all clients.
Is that picking up trend? Do you see more MSPs going to that?
And I think that what we're seeing is a lot of MSPs are moving to pricing that's based on users or devices or some hybrid of that, and they're bundling software solutions, either reselling of 365 or other you know, public cloud-based solutions and bundling them all together. And what we're seeing is, you know, by offering both the software and the services together, margins are increasing. Dollars per user or device are going way up and way out of the commodity zone that we used to see when it was just, you know, a fight for who's going to be doing monitoring. But, you know, when you're offering the desktop applications and you're delivering, you know, through public cloud or otherwise the user experience, that's a very sticky relationship. And it's both software and services. And it's, you know, not a commodity. You know, people will pay a premium to have a single service provider provisioning both their desktop experience as well as the server monitoring, management, security, firewall, and other backup, disaster recovery, and other services that are core to a typical managed services contract.
Yeah. We got a couple more items that we need to squeeze in here with the time that we have left. And I'll go next to, I know, your favorite topic, everyone's favorite topic, which is insurance. You have been going back to 2008 when you negotiated with the Lloyd's Group, you know, for the first MSP specific cyber policy product out there. You've been a huge proponent for insurance in this profession. With everything that's happened in this year and the last 2 years with the cyber attacks increasing, what trends, if any, are you seeing as it relates to insurance provisions within managed services contracts?
Well, first of all, I think with the threat landscape that's emerged, you know, I think you'd be stupid to offer managed services without having professional liability insurance. It would be tantamount to being a surgeon without insurance or practicing in a risky area of law without professional malpractice insurance. It's just one of these things now where the risks are so great that, and the costs are so low and the benefits so high that not having managed services professional liability insurance is a real mistake. And then once you have the insurance, it's critically important to use it effectively in terms of your contracting. And one of the things that I've always talked about is the zero risk position for managed service providers, which is to offer in terms of liability coverage and indemnity to their customers only those things that the insurance provider covers. And so if you can match the language in the customer contracts to the language in the insurance contracts, then the MSP is in a position to have transferred all or substantially all of the risk associated with taking on that customer to the insurance company. And managed services and cloud professional liability insurance has been a great product. I can't believe it's been 12 years ago that we did that.
Long time.
I'm certainly fine. But it was important then, and it's way more important today. I think more customers expect service providers to have it. And certainly it's in the best interest of the service provider to have it because one policy covers everybody. You know, you buy professional liability insurance and it covers all of your customers. And it becomes a way to create contracts that are more competitive than what your competitors may be presenting to the customer on the topics of risk and risk balancing and limitation of liability, which for an increasing number of sophisticated customers are the hot buttons when thinking about acquiring managed services.
And for those, like, it may be remedial for some people, but for others who just listening to the MSP Zone before, they're not familiar with you and the work you've done. What could you give a quick recap for MSPs as to the difference between a general, you know, business owner's policy, sometimes called, you know, sometimes with E&O, errors and omissions, and and cyber? What are the distinctions in as you describe them?
Sure. So general liability is a policy that typically every business owner is going to have, particularly if they're a tenant. Landlord will require it. It covers things that happen on the premises, a slip and fall, a fire, a flood, if it's covered, those types of things related to the premises. It's really designed to cover the landlord in the event that the tenant has an issue with the leased space. And so just about every business is going to have general liability. Errors and omissions is a policy that could be relevant to managed services if it's appropriately tailored to the types of services that MSPs provide, because professional liability and errors and omissions are synonyms. The problem that many MSPs have faced, and the reason that we did that work 12 years ago, is because the members were coming to you saying, my agent doesn't understand the business I'm in. I'm getting quotes for insurance that represent such a high percentage of my revenue that it's impossible to get. And so we needed to come up with a solution that was very closely tailored to what managed service providers do, i.e. technology services. And when you start focusing on technology services, the cyber component comes in. Cyber is a generalized term that is applied in the insurance context to refer to policies that cover privacy and security related claims, like data breach, like data loss, like recovery from malware or other types of malicious attacks. And that cyber policy can be in a professional liability policy, like in the managed services and cloud insurance, or it can be as an add-on to a general policy for first-party coverage, namely if there's a data loss on the premises of the MSP, the first-party cyber liability would cover it. For purposes of managed services, and particularly thinking about customer contracting, the insurance that's relevant is the managed services professional liability policy that has a cyber liability component to it, meaning it covers data breach, it covers regulatory response in wake of a security incident, it covers forensics, it covers crisis management, public relations. So those are the cyber related coverages.
So is it safe to say that some professional liability / E&O may include cyber, but not necessarily always?
Correct. And there's degrees of, you know, the quality of the cyber coverage. There could be, for example, significant limitations on what the carrier will pay for a data breach, for example. And so, you know, it becomes important to make sure as an MSP that what you're buying is a policy that is really tailored to IT managed services. And not all of them are, but the MSP Alliance professional liability, both for managed services and cloud, is specifically tailored to the managed services industry, including cloud service providers.
And so for those of you out there trying to make sense of all this, it's not just that you have a managed services agreement, and it's not just that you have managed services / cyber insurance. It's having both of those and having them work together that I think, Rob, that's what your mission for the last 10, 15 years has been about, is getting MSPs to understand that the insurance by itself, you know, is one thing, but having it referenced in the contract and actually getting to that point of, as you call it, zero risk for the MSP is really critical and should, in theory, help close deals.
Absolutely. I think the way we write our contracts is customer favorable. on these points because we're offering them the full benefit of the insurance where others in the market might carry the insurance but want to significantly limit the customer's ability to access it, which is a position I have never understood.
Yeah. Well, so in a few minutes that we have left, so we've talked about a wide range of areas of contract changing. And I want to end on one particular issue, which typically involves contracts, and that is valuation. As we see a lot of private equity interest in the managed services market, ongoing, the topic always comes back to valuations. And we've had a long-standing rule in the managed services market, which is the longer the term of the contract, the more valuable it is. Are you seeing any shift on that front when it comes to your kind of articulation of a monthly 1 to 3 year term option? And is that having any impact on value?
Yeah, I would say that the rule of long-term non-cancelable contracts it still applies, and I think today now more than ever. And I think that those of you who don't really have experience with M&A in the context of managed services, the important thing to understand is the vast majority of these transactions are done as asset purchases, and the primary asset that's being traded is the customer contracts. And so if you think of your customer contracts as the primary asset of your business, and then you start thinking like a buyer and asking, if I was a buyer, what kind of contracts would I want to buy? That will guide you in the right direction in terms of the changes that you need to make to your customer contracts. Because the MSP with the strong contracts, with the right customers in the right niche market, priced correctly with the ability to raise prices over time, is going to trade at a higher value, higher price than MSPs that are on inferior contracts on any of those topics, but most particularly the term and the right to cancel for convenience.
I lied, Rob. I got one more question for you just before we let you go. On average, how often are MSPs coming to you and getting their MSAs and other service agreements retouched or updated or reviewed?
We recommend annually, unless one, there's a significant negotiation with a customer where the customer is asking for a lot of changes. That would be a reason to check in. And then, or if you're adding new services or changing your service delivery, then that would be a time to check in and see, do we have a specific attachment for the menu item that you're planning to add? And the answer is most likely, yes, we do. And so those would be reasons to check in, right away. Other than that, I think annual reviews are sufficient.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of MSPs who do, tend to open up their agreements, but, it's good to know. And there's probably a lot of you out there, maybe never, or been 10 years since you've had your checkup, legally that is, and maybe something you should do before the year end and get ready to embrace 2021. Cause I think it's going to be a heck of a year, in a positive way. For a lot of MSPs. So better have your house in order and be ready to capitalize and monetize and all the work that's coming down the road, because it's going to be busy.
Yeah, no question. I think there's a lot of pent-up demand for IT managed services. I think as we turn the corner into 2021, businesses are going to start having some visibility into their post-COVID sort of strategy and objectives, and I think the MSPs are going to be poised to assist those clients in executing those strategies. And like you said, I think it's going to be busy and opportunity for significant growth in 2021 for the managed services industry.
Couldn't agree more, Rob. And on that, we will end our episode of the MSP Zone. Always a pleasure, Rob, talking to you and getting your expertise and insights. We'll no doubt be talking to you in a few weeks, hopefully before the year end. But hope all of you enjoyed that. Give Rob a call. His firm does great work, as we keep saying, and they've helped out a lot of MSP Alliance members over the years. So with that said, be safe, be well, and we'll talk to you next time on the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.